Well, here we are. Today marks the end of the Easter season. 50 days ago, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord, proclaiming that our God is so powerful that not even the devil can hold him. Death has no power greater than his. And since then, we have continued to celebrate that resurrection as we have read story after story of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to his disciples. We heard about his appearance to the women at the tomb, and his appearance to the disciples, and especially to Thomas. We heard about his sharing in meals with his friends, much like what we will be doing in a few minutes. Then finally, 10 days ago, we celebrated his ascension when Jesus' earthly ministry became our responsibility, when he went to heaven to sit on the throne next to God the Father, ready to judge the living and the dead. And at first, that seems fine and dandy. Of course, Jesus goes to heaven. That's where he belongs. We say it in the Apostles' Creed every week. He sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Jesus is supposed to go to his heavenly throne. And it's not like we had no warning. He constantly reminded his disciples that he would only be with them for a little while longer. And even if they didn't always understand what he was saying, he constantly told them that it would be their responsibility to carry on his mission after he left. We are his body, after all. But at the same time, I cannot help but be a little bit angry at these turn of events. I have said to you over and over and over again that because of our experiences with the risen Lord, nothing can ever be the same. We are not the same people that we were before we had that experience. Life is different. Our entire outlook on the world has changed. The disciples knew this also. The moment that they came to terms with the fact that their rabbi had returned from the dead, that he was God incarnate, they knew that nothing was going to be the same. And what did they get? 50 days, give or take. 50 days with the risen Lord. And sure, they had had all of this time before his death and resurrection, but it was only now starting to really make any sense. 50 days, and then Jesus goes back to heaven. And quite frankly, I want to be like, Jesus, that's not enough time. I mean, come on, man. What's going on here? You drop this bombshell on us that you have risen from the dead, then you declare that we are to continue your mission, and you tell us that you cannot stay here with us, and you are going and you are gone in just a few weeks. Are you kidding me? Think of it this way. Placing ourselves in the disciples' shoes, it's hard not to imagine feeling betrayed by all of this. The Gospels make it pretty clear that all during Jesus' ministry, the disciples don't seem to understand what Jesus' ultimate plan is. They seem to think that he is going to establish an earthly kingdom and rule over it. It's really only after his death and resurrection that Jesus' followers start to get it. And when they finally do, Jesus is like, okay, bye. If I were them, I'd feel kind of disappointed. And it all boils down to this simple problem. What are the disciples supposed to do now that Jesus has ascended to heaven? What, for that matter, are we, his present-day followers, supposed to do now? And this has been an issue that we have been wrestling with for the last few weeks. Before his ascension, actually, for that matter, before his death and resurrection, Jesus makes this bold proclamation. He says, it is to your advantage, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he goes on and on about this advocate that he will send to his disciples. The advocate will prove the world wrong. As I said last week, the world hates what Jesus has to say. And it is the advocate that will prove the world wrong. The advocate will glorify Jesus, and he will teach Jesus' message to his followers. And that's where today's celebration comes in. Today we celebrate Pentecost, which is actually an ancient Jewish holiday, celebrating the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, the law which guided the people in the ways of God. But today we celebrate another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the guide to the will of Jesus Christ. And like the law of Moses, the Holy Spirit guides us in our lives and how we are to follow Jesus and do the will of God. And that's actually an incredibly important point, because at first blush, two Thursdays ago when we celebrated Jesus' ascension into heaven, we should have felt abandoned and alone. Jesus, after all, is who we pinned our hopes and dreams on. He is the Messiah, the one crucified and resurrected, and it is Jesus that we have declared that we follow. And indeed, that is what I have been preaching to you these last several weeks, and in particular since his ascension, that we, as his followers, are to bring his good news to the world. But how are we supposed to do that with Jesus seated at the right hand of God the Father, seemingly out of our reach in heaven above? How are we supposed to do that when we are all alone? How are we supposed to do that if Jesus has seemingly abandoned us? Well, the answer, of course, is the event at Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, our guide. But I want to highlight something about this event. You see, there are basically two symbols for the Holy Spirit. There is the dove, and there is the fire. And the dove is peaceful and beautiful, but in our story today, the Holy Spirit did not descend in the form of a dove. Instead, it came in the form of flame. Now, the flame burns, and the flame is powerful, even dangerous. And I think that that is an interesting observation for us, because in our tradition, we don't like to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. We let the Pentecostals handle all of that stuff. We'll stick to talking about God the Father and God the Son. We'll let other folks deal with the Holy Spirit. It's almost like we're afraid that we'll get burned. And so I like this image of the Holy Spirit, tongues of fire falling from the sky, landing on the disciples. It's dangerous. It's scary. And that's good. Because what we have is radical. Quite frankly, what we have is borderline crazy. The things that we have talked about recently, a guy crucified, dead, and buried, raised, and ascended into heaven, that's stuff out of a fairy tale. No wonder the world rejects it. No wonder the world rejects us. And yet, this is what we are left with. We are left with Jesus having declared that we are to continue his mission, that our actions in this world as his church are the actions of his body. It's now our turn to take his radical gospel, his incredible good news, and share it with the world that I declared last week doesn't want to hear it because they don't care about God. And so how on earth are we supposed to deliver that message? How do we proclaim Jesus' life-giving news to a world that simply doesn't care anymore? Well, look at our story. The disciples of Christ face a hostile world, but they are bathed in fire. They are anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's a scary proclamation. They have been touched by the awe-inspiring flames of God. That's a frightening idea. But here's one that is even more terrifying. So have we. We have all had the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out upon us, and I want you to understand just how radical that notion is. This is not just the cute little dove descending from the sky. This is the powerful flame that has lit you all on fire. This is power. The power to change the world, to reach those that don't want to hear us, that don't trust us. The power to bring the good news to everybody. That is our legacy, and that is the mission that Jesus Christ has left with us and has left the Holy Spirit to guide us to do that very thing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.